Thank you for downloading the most current episode of VHS Rewind. I had been digging through some old hard drives and trying to get my media in order for archiving, came across some episodes of Fuyuk and For Your Consideration, which I would like to share with you. For Your Consideration was a podcast that Alex Saltz and myself started back in the summer of 2011, and Chris Hassler began co-hosting with me towards the end of season one. Eventually, Chris and I would end the For Your Consideration podcast after 24 episodes to start a whole new show entitled Fuyuk, and that was in January of 2013. Fuyuk would run for a total of 10 episodes, before Chris and I renamed the show and started over again with VHS Rewind. I hope you enjoy this look back at where the current show came from. Enjoy the show.
It's VHS Rewind.
Hello, my name is Mark Giacoma, and I am talking this evening with Christopher Hassler. How are you this evening, Chris?
All right. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on and reviewing this out of sight and out of mind pilot that existed. I just realized, I don't know whether this was an ABC pilot or not.
I think it was NBC because Great American Hero was ABC.
I'm sorry, what's I don't know what show you're talking about. The Great American Hero? I never heard of that.
Great American Hero was
greatest.
ABC.
It's the greatest American hero.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever. Are you kidding me? When I was in the third grade or second grade, I was the greatest American hero for Halloween.
Really? You had a costume?
My mother made it.
No way.
Yes, I swear to God. I wish I still had it. There must be a photo around here somewhere.
You were a fan then?
Loved this show.
Really? I don't recall. I remember Wednesday nights, right? It was on Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock. That's what I would think.
That I do not recall.
And that's what I recall. But I might be wrong.
You know, I mean,
I don't remember liking it, even though I was a superhero dude.
You know, it was heavily marketed. And I think that I might have been too young. I wasn't really the demo. But, you know, I really was into it, and I loved it, and I don't know. I think there was a certain goofiness of it that I really enjoyed.
I didn't remember that Stephen J. Canal had done it, you know, Mr. A-Team and Rockford Files.
Well, that's the thing. It was kind of grouped within that whole genre. Like, you had, like, the A-Team and Knight Rider.
Hardcastle and McCormick.
That was more of a 10 o'clock show. All right? Like, heart to heart. But the show that we're talking about, the show that we will be reviewing for this episode, is not The Greatest American Hero. What is it, Chris?
It's the spinoff, Greatest American Heroine.
That's awful. Now, supposedly this podcast, this episode was created because TV executives felt as though it was a huge mistake canceling The Greatest American Hero.
What was up for that? I thought it was on the air for like 2 years, 3 years, and then it went off. And I don't know if there's any story behind that. Maybe the ratings were just terrible, or I don't know.
You know, I looked around for some dirt, and I bet you I'll find some tomorrow. But I really couldn't find I couldn't find too much dirt about it. I'm gonna guess that William Catt wanted to leave.
You know, that's what I was thinking, but again, I couldn't find anything.
I like William Catt. I think that William Catt was fantastic in his role. He went and did House, actually, right after this.
Which was a good movie.
I thought it was a very good movie. Yeah, it was a pretty good movie, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since, but, you know, it's something that I think I'd watch again. I remember it being scary. Now, this, actually, I didn't realize this. The Greatest American Hero was from 81 to 86. So it was, five seasons.
Okay. Well, maybe it just ran its course then.
Yeah. But so it was canceled for whatever reason.
And then picked up by NBC, who thought, hey, let's spin it off and make this.
Right. This was the time of the jumping around for a lot of network shows. I think that Different Strokes had made the jump at one point from NBC to ABC.
I think, didn't Sanford and Son was on NBC, and then they brought Sanford back by himself.
No, I didn't remember that. That's interesting.
I hope I have that right. I hope I have that right.
Well, I'm sure, like, one of our listeners will happily rip you apart if you're wrong. So, yeah, basically, The Greatest American Heroine, which is kind of an... It doesn't really roll off the tongue the way The Greatest American Hero does. Wouldn't you agree? The premise of this is Ralph, the main character...
William Cat.
He saves a girl. I'm sorry, what?
With a haircut now.
He got a haircut. It's no longer like a perm.
That perm thing he had going in the... Let's back up for even before you get into that.
Give us a little bit of a...
This pilot, as it were, I don't know if it had its own opening, but the version I saw had the standard Greatest American Hero opening.
Yeah, it was almost like it was a Greatest American Hero
episode.
Yeah, I don't know if
there's any difference somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If it had its own thing, or because the entire credits are all William Cat, whatever, Robert Culp, Connie Selica, Jesus.
I thought Connie Selica looks great in this, by the way.
Oh man, she's a bad actress, though. We'll get there.
I mean, I'd say the only one I like still is William Cat. Robert Culp just looks like he's constantly, blasted.
But there's no end starring Mary Ellen Stewart. It really looks like an episode of Great American Hero, so I don't know.
It's Greatest American Hero.
Whatever, I'm abbreviating for timing.
Abbreviating, jeez, for time.
Great American Hero.
Greatest.
Anyway, so let's make mention, Greatest American Hero still had one of the top theme songs.
Right. Ever. Actually, I have it here right now if you'd like to hear what it is. It's right here. Any minute now. And, that was a pretty big hit at the time, right?
Yep, by somebody I've never heard of. I thought it was William Cat singing, really. But
that'd be awesome. It'd be awesome if it actually opened up the way, I don't know if you ever saw Joni Loves Chachi, but, which was a spinoff of Happy Days.
We might be doing that, so don't laugh.
I was a big fan of Joni Loves Chachi. Still am. Even though Joni looks like a freaking Cabbage Patch Kid. But... The opening scene is a duet between the two in I think they're in Al's, in the diner, and it's like one of those kind of soft blur, the light glares and everything, and it's like ridiculously 80s. It would be so cool if he was had the long microphone from The Price Is Right, and he was singing that. That would be an amazing intro to the song to the show. I'm sorry, go on.
So it's funny. In typical 80s fashion, the opening credits go run over random scenes, freeze frames from the series. And
stock footage, basically.
Stock footage. I mean, they're just randomly selected clips from the original series, basically showing the origin of Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, I guess what they want to do is, if you've never seen The Greatest American Hero, they want to let you know where you are, I guess.
But then as the episode opens, Robert Culp's Bill Maxwell character, who's an FBI agent, is narrating a report into a microphone. And once again, we see the same clips. Because he's telling the story about his meeting Ralph and getting stuck helping him in the costume. As we segue into, so I don't know how Greatest American Hero ended. Did all of it end as?
I have no idea how it ended.
So what apparently happens is somehow, follow me now, Ralph Hinckley is found out. He's, everybody knows him now, and he becomes a celebrity.
Well, in the beginning, towards the middle of the episode, he saves a girl. It's funny. It's like about 15 minutes in and the credits are still rolling.
Right. It was like, so this was all happening. This all happened already.
Right. Just he was not famous.
Show.
He was not famous at the end of The Greatest American Hero. There's no way.
So something happens really quick.
Yes.
It's almost like it's been edited, but it happens really quick. And he doesn't wear a mask anyway, so people have already been seeing him in the costume, I can only imagine. I don't remember Greatest American Hero. And
I think he saved a girl in front of a bunch of people. Photographs were taken. Next thing you know, he's like on every talk show. Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, that's supposed to be the president? Doesn't look like Reagan at all. It was Reagan era at that time, and yeah. Doesn't look anywhere near like Reagan. You see him from behind only.
Well, you know, he's a generic, you know, president, prime minister.
So now Hinckley's going on TV and becoming a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And the aliens who originally brought the costume don't like that.
By the way, they're driving in what I'm guessing is a white-on-white 1979 VW Beetle.
Convertible.
Super Beetle. Convertible, yeah. Very nice.
I knew you'd be creaming over that car.
You know, if you look on my Instagram, you'll see I took a picture of the Beetle on my screen when I was watching it a few weeks ago.
It looks big, that car.
It's not huge. I mean, it's a compact
car.
It
has back seats.
Yeah, mine does too, you know.
Okay, I didn't realize. It just looked bigger than your standard VW Bug.
Well, it's a Super Beetle, so it looks fatter. Like the front has a fatter nose.
So aliens come and tell Ralph that he has to give up the costume.
Bad scene, too. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, those aliens look ridiculous.
Now, in the original show, do you recall the first pilot?
No.
We'll do it in the future, maybe. But it was a cool scene. Like, I guarantee you that the scene where they went up on the ship and there was like the sighting and everything. And you know, the guy, you know, remember the movie Eddie and the Cruisers?
I've seen it.
The main character, Eddie, you know, the guy who's supposed to play like a Morrison type of character.
Yeah.
He's in the regular series as like the tough, you know, student. And he is. And, you know, he's a part of it, and his acting is not so bad, and there's, like, this whole, like, thing going on. You know, the regular Greatest American Hero was a halfway decent series.
Mike Paré, holy cow, you're right.
There was a lot of, there was a lot of story, there was a lot of conflict. It was a decent story. This particular pilot had nothing like that in it, and the budget for the Greatest American Hero pilot had to far exceeded this pilot.
This pilot, Heroine, is really
there was nothing cheap, special about those effects.
Cheap looking, it's padded with all this footage that's repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the story, I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. It's
I know.
The aliens say, we can make the world forget that they've seen you, Ralph. But you have to put the costume anyway. You need to have someone else doing the superhero stuff. I just did not follow the rationale of these super beings.
Well, aliens are easy to negotiate with. Because he said, well, what about, you know, Bill Maxwell? You know, do you have to erase his mind? It's like, well, I guess we don't have to.
He can stay in an assistant fashion.
Well, what about my wife, Pam? Oh, I guess she doesn't have to either. It's like, what? Make up your mind here, people.
So Ralph William Cat goes out into the world to look for a replacement.
Right, and they play...
I don't know how far he goes, but very quickly he starts stalking this...
Wait, let me set you up with the music that they actually used in the show, if you don't mind. All right? I'm just going to...
Let me just set the scene.
No, I'm going to play it low, and you can talk over it, okay?
So William Catt sees this somewhat attractive woman who has nothing but the kindest of hearts. She helps animals. She works with kids. She's for pollution. And
she's against pollution.
I'm sorry. She's against pollution. And William Catt is just following her to make sure everything that she does in her day shows that she's altruistic and a kind heart.
And they're playing The Greatest Love of All in the background.
What is up with that? I was like, this is so
weird. All right.
And there's one scene where she's giving out the anti-pollution flyers where William Catt walks by and he's in like a tracksuit or something.
It was awesome. I wouldn't wear this underneath clothes. It's horrible.
It looks so sleazy. I was like, oh man, this is creepy. Creepy.
It was a very strange thing.
So he makes up his mind and he goes to, I guess, a daycare where her name is Holly Hathaway is working with kids. And he starts talking to her even though she's really enwrapped in all the things she's doing with the kids. Like, she doesn't stop what she's doing. And he just keeps talking while she's trying to talk to the kids. And she's doing finger painting with some of the kids.
Wait, hold on one second. Now imagine this is Exorcist 2, right? And they're in that school. And in the background, they're pushing that big bolt, you know? It's like the same school.
These kids weren't special. There was one really obnoxiously precocious kid that we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
But Holly is doing finger paints with the kids, and at no point does she wash her hands. It's almost like an unbroken take almost.
But I was wondering what you meant by that. What was she doing that she needed to wash her hands?
Because she had paint all over it, but then she goes and touches another kid's train set. She's like, oh, look, it goes like this. All the while she's talking to Ralph.
I didn't know that.
She says, oh, that's great what you've done on your painting, and pats him on the shoulder. Again, she has not washed her hands. And then she starts talking to Ralph like she's facing him, and her hands are in her pockets.
I picture eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with paint all over her hands and stuff.
So Holly Hathaway has been chosen, and of course Bill Maxwell's not happy about that because I guess he's kind of sexist.
Right.
It was the 80s, after all. I guess that was allowed.
Well, Bill hated her. What did he refer to her as? The skirt?
Skirt, yes. Yeah.
Why would you choose a skirt? It's like, what is it? When did he just turn into Archie Bunker?
Now, Holly Hathaway has the most 80s hair you will ever see.
She is very awake.
She is so chipper.
She's so happy to be there.
Everything in her life is just like, I have no problems whatsoever, apparently.
I don't need coffee type attitude.
So she gets the suit. She tries it on. She's very happy. She has no questions about any of this.
That's the budget for the whole episode right there, that suit.
So she now has the suit. Bill has resigned himself to helping her out. And they're on like a football field and they're playing baseball. This is how she's testing out the suit, or she's jumping over goalposts.
Well, the story is this. I don't know if you caught it, but they were going to ask for another manual, like an instruction manual for the suit. In the original series, Ralph had shrunk down.
The credits of this episode in Bill Maxwell's recap of this episode, yes, we find out William Catt lost the instructions.
Twice.
Twice.
It was twice.
Ouch.
Yeah, so basically you have to learn on your own. And that's the comedic atmosphere of the original series, because he would just out of nowhere do things, you know? But he didn't know how to control the suit. So everything was like very accidental.
But she seems to pick it up very quickly because she's...
Yeah, and she's very happy to.
She's very... very happy to.
And where did she go? Like, what was her first destination?
To Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
No, I think it's Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. Newfoundland.
Don't ask me where that is. Why? Well, let's back up for a second. So it turns out Holly Hathaway has a foster child at home. We told you she was altruistic and kind-hearted.
She is, and this kid in your was face.
So obnoxiously, like, with the patter and just this precocious kid that you just want to strangle. You know, she's got the glasses and she's kind of nerdy looking, but she's
obnoxious.
And I was like, oh my God, they're going to make this kid part of the show. And then she turns up at her house and I was like, oh, and then they tell her at the end that Holly's got the suit. And oh, it was just like, oh man, I would not watch this series. I got to tell you, I would not be watching this series.
Yeah. What is that girl? What was that? What was the girl's name? The little girl.
Sarah, was it?
Because I don't see her credited here. She has to be credited, right?
Yeah, she's there.
I saw her. Yeah, earlier. Sarah Hathaway. Yeah, I'm sorry.
She now, if you're a foster child, do you get the last name of the... I guess, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know either. She did a bunch of stuff. I mean, she was in, like, Growing Pains and Max Headroom at 30-something.
It should be noted that Holly Hathaway, our Hollywood Hathaway actress, Mary Ellen Stewart, did nothing else after this.
Would you? She was.
Let me put this question to you. So,
she got, the show, oh, no, that's
the show was the show is Greatest American Heroine. So this question is viable. Is she hot?
No.
Really? She grew on me.
She did not grow on me. Connie Selleck is 10 times better looking. In my opinion, I don't think you're really a Connie Selleck fan.
Connie Selleck is probably like 10 years older than Mary Ellen Stewart.
And she still looks better, like, today. I'm looking at a recent picture.
Early scenes. All right, she had the hair, like this foofy hair in the front, and then it's sort of a extended mullet in the back, but it's short on the sides. It was just like, whoa, that's 80s.
Now, an episode of The Greatest American Hero, there was an episode where Connie Selleck actually wore the suit, right? And I'm kind of wondering, why wouldn't they get Connie Selleck to be the Greatest American Heroine? Wouldn't it make so much more sense for her to adopt it, and then William Catt would be with her, and Robert Culp could stay on? It could be the same exact show.
Because I think Connie Selleck was already committed to that series Hotel. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, maybe.
Maybe they just really did not want to come back. Robert Culp had nothing better to do, so he stayed on.
But he's still trying to get – he wants to get another one out now, I guess. he's like – he wants the suit, you know.
So I think Mary, she really did grow on me in the beginning with the hair, and she had a lot of mascara or eyeliner or.
Hey, Robert Culp died. I'm sorry.
Yes, he's dead.
I didn't know that. 4 years ago.
Too, like within the last year, I think. Was
4 years ago, 2010.
Oh, whoops.
Time flies.
I guess so. Did he always talk the way he talked in this episode?
Yeah, he was always like a cop
type. Rudy, you know, he kept saying things like that. I was like, it always seemed like he was angry or something.
I think he was doing an Archie impersonation. Everything was like, oh, come on, Ralphie. You know, what about the scenario?
I kept trying to talk like Robert Culp did after watching this episode, and it's really tough to do. But
you know, he's a real alcoholic in the series. You know, like he's like blasted in the first episode and everything.
Really?
And that's kind of why they run into each other. He's a cop and he's like drinking. You don't find that too often, right? He's driving. Ouch. And I forget the exact scenario, but the UFO comes down and they're all both there, and then you're dealing with Robert Culp's hangover the next day, and it's very funny.
Interesting. Yeah, the attempts at humor in the show, like really broad humor with, you know, when they're doing the workout in the football field and she's, you know, I was just like, this is really 80s TV. I mean, it's underwritten and just so like, so we're 45 minutes in, and I guess I thought the entire episode was going to be, well, she's just going to get acclimated to the suit, but no, she comes up with a mission that they have to go on, like with less than 10 minutes left to go in the show. So
what would you
tell
do?
Tell me what happened, because a ship blew up while it was doing whaling, and she was upset about the whaling, but the ship had blown up.
Yeah, it's like,
I didn't understand how she came up with what she had to do or what the problem was. Or
it was such a ridiculous premise. It was just like, I was waiting for her to start crying about acid rain or something.
Yeah.
The ship blows up, and then she has to figure out who did it or attack someone. Yeah, I had lost interest at this point. I kind of just, I was like, my mind just kind of wander up until the bar scene.
So they have to go to Newfoundland to do some investigation, and they're in this really sort of cliche seafaring tough bar.
Of course, it's like the Pee Wee Herman bar with the bikers.
Pun intended. And she's the only woman there, and then she's like, "Hi guys, how you doing? Hi."
Exactly. And it's like the Star Wars cantina scene.
And Bill Maxwell's like, "Chicky, will you keep it down? We've got a bunch of gorillas around here."
See, I'm just, hey, that's not bad. That was pretty good.
Do it. So she doesn't know how to investigate. So she's just like, "Hey, can you tell us who blew up the ship? Right. Who's doing the illegal whaling?"
That's awesome.
So she somehow gets into a arm wrestling match with one of the sea dogs in the bar, this burly sea dog.
Who awesome.
Will not believe who this sea dog, who is playing the sea dog.
Right. When you told me this, I was like, I
couldn't believe it. I wanted to go back and look again. I mean, this can't be right. But she is arm wrestling with
71-year-old
Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger himself, without the Lone Ranger mask. I mean, the reason I can't believe that is I thought Clayton Moore never came out in public without his mask because he's crazy.
Well, here's a fun fact for you. This was his last role. It was.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was his last role as an actor.
He must have been friends with Stephen J. Cannell.
He was credited as arm wrestler.
So Robert Culp's worried.
I'm sorry. He was in Blue Thunder as a truck driver as well.
He was in Blue Thunder?
Yeah. Played truck driver.
Blue Thunder, the TV series. We're going to do that pilot.
Yeah, I actually have the Laserdisc of wait, there was a movie called Blue Thunder, right?
Right.
With the helicopter.
I guess that would be considered the pilot then, right?
I have the movie on Laserdisc, sealed. Sealed. Never watched. I saw it like back in the day.
This can be yours for $50, folks. Just
You just reminded me. I'm sorry. I'm going to something in the background. I'm bidding on something on eBay.
So Holly gets into a wrestling match with this guy with the proviso. If she wins, he has to answer one question. The one question being, who blew up their ship? And if he wins, it's like $100 bet or something.
Right.
Or $1,000 bet or something. So, of course, she's got the suit on. Bill is worried. Chicky, do you have the suit on? Tell me you have the suit on. You know,
right.
She's getting into a slow burn. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she has the suit, which her clothes get ripped off of her. Like, they all come out. The suit is out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody sees who she is. So, again, that's why I'm – if people know I guess they don't know what her name is, so they can't trace her, but...
And she's in another country.
Mask or anything, but...
Well, you know, so this isn't the time where people are carrying cameras around and stuff.
She beats up the bar. Nobody answers the question. We go to a commercial, and then Bill is wrapping up the episode. He's like, yeah, I have to admit, you really got us out of that scraper-rooney. Or that effect.
Glug, glug, glug.
And he's at the daycare where she works, and he overhears Holly talking to Sarah and saying, yes, I'm the chosen one, and I have to wear the suit, and you can't wear the suit, and Bill is such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make all the difference, and they're going to bond. So end of episode, nothing as far as I saw got resolved. So if I missed something, I went back because I was like, did I miss something? How did I?
Right, did I just have a missing
this 2-hour show or something?
Black out for 5 minutes.
I only had like half the episode or something. I just don't know what happened. So this is such a poorly written. There's no way I'd do
this. Was a complete throwaway episode. This is so embarrassing when you put it side by side with The Greatest American Hero, which to me was much better. It was more thoughtful and actually had some level and some at least semblance of an idea. And this has
this was like a really
this was pretty cynical, much
a cynical cash in or spinoff.
You know what this was? You should never cancel The Greatest American Hero. I told you. Fine. You know what? You want your pilot? Let's do it. Get it done.
But don't do this. Oh man, this is
That was the conversation, I think.
This was really. Why did you pick this? I'm just curious. This was your pick. I don't want that.
You know, because I never heard of it. Sent me a book, actually, a very nice book, and I thank you for this book because I don't know if you know this, but in the back of that book, no, not that book. You sent me two books: one large book, one small. And this one was the kind of like the history of unsold pilots.
Yes, yes.
And I had never heard of this, so I was fascinated by it because I'm a fan of The Greatest American Hero. I'm so much of a fan, I don't even remember how it ended. But the other book actually tells, it has grids of like, you can look up in 1982 to find out what was on prime time.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, man. If you want, I'll scan them. Yeah. Because it's fascinating.
It's like, you know, like various years. Like, what was I watching?
Yeah, I mean, you could look up and find out, like, you know, from like 1959, even. There's like two things on, but, you know, I was like six. No, no, but you can look up in like 1981 on Saturday night what was on. And I think that's really cool.
Was there any shows on 1981?
Oh, wait, on Saturday night, you had Love Boat, Fantasy Island.
Love Boat, right, right. That was the ABC period.
Yeah, that was it. From 8 to 9, probably, I don't know, it might have been.
No, you're right.
I had the book in front of me.
9, Fantasy Island was 10.
Then you had Saturday Night Live. And
then Joe Franklin.
I never really watched Joe Franklin. Or never stayed up for it. I sent you a link. I want your impression of it live on the show.
All right. Where is it? Facebook?
No, it's in Skype. I sent you a link.
Ah.
I think I'm going to get outbid. But this might bring back memories depending on what kind of cable system you had when you were a kid. But all in all, I think that this was worthwhile. It was worth seeing. It's just that it really shouldn't have been
so bad.
It was right to not be created and released. I think it aired in reruns.
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to back up to this eBay thing.
Oh, okay.
What is the point of getting this?
Oh, it's kind of a collectible, you know.
Doesn't work, right?
I don't see how it would. Yeah. I mean,
if this was the Twilight Zone, it would. It would pick up cable channels from 19. That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, Basically, it's the old cable box, the wood grain one with the long wire.
Yep.
Yeah, I collect all these kind of like weird type of things.
I got to see your house one day. It's just full of stuff.
Yeah, I'm still in the whole world of organizing. after this is over, I'll tell you real quick the other item that I acquired. Well, three items I acquired this week that I can't believe I even acquired. It's one of these things that it's just kind of crazy. But anyway, so yeah, I don't recommend this pilot unless you're a hardcore Greatest American Hero fan and you just have to complete the entire thing.
It's bad. It's bad. I'm not going to, as I thought I would, I'm not going to fault Mary Ellen Stewart as Holly Hathaway. I thought she grew on me as the episode went on. She actually looks really good in the costume.
I fault her 100%.
Ouch.
I think that she's annoying. She's an attractive girl. I'm not going to say she's not attractive.
There's a scene where she's wearing like a half shirt and daisy right. dance, and I was like, wow, she's really cute. But but I think she had I can see where like she's on caffeine or whatever, but I call that bubbly. It was just the wrong.
That might be a kind word for what I call it.
I'm surprised that she did nothing. Like, nothing. She was in some soap operas before, including Guiding Light, which I used to watch, and I don't remember her on it.
You actually watched Guiding Light?
I did.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a photograph real quick of Connie Selica in the Greatest American Hero outfit.
I thought you were going to say Connie Selica now.
I still think she looks better than the other girl. I know it sounds mean, but
no. But she's married to John Tesh. That
I didn't know that. Stuff. So she's a big pothead. She's she likes the reefer. But all right, so yeah, thanks for getting together and discussing this podcast, man.
Yeah, I enjoy like discovering these shows that. You know, I don't recall seeing if I ever did watch it, or it's just like something new.
Yeah, and this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have even heard of this if you had not sent me the book. And that thing is chock full of a lot of really amazing things, none of which I can remember right now. But
there are like pilots in there, like based on movies. Like yes. We have to do some of them. There was a Stir Crazy TV series? I don't remember that. Holy crap.
But, you know, this is an unaired pilot, which I think they might have snuck in at, like, you know, 2 in the morning. So, you know, a lot of these pilots are very difficult to find. Luckily, we have resources, so we can dig them up. And that's why I think For Your Consideration is all about finding and kind of picking through these podcasts. I mean, picking through these episodes.
Yep. I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Hold on. There's one more picture. I want your response live on the air. I'm sending it to you in Skype.
Go ahead.
And this is the cast of Greatest American Hero now. Or recently.
Oh my God, this is going to...
No, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, it's...
Connie Selica's hair has not aged. Rest of her ass.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, wait. But William Katz... Curls are coming back.
Yeah, that guy's got some interesting hair. And yeah, Robert Culp looks... Robert Culp just looks... That's at Comic-Con. So.
Wow, that is...
I think that's awesome.
Know, these Comic-Con things are really kind of scary, because I went to one the past summer, and I saw, like, Gil Gerard, Buck Rogers.
Really?
And it's I was
beady,
like...
Beady, beady.
I bet he heard that all day.
I'll talk beady, beady, beady. You know, it's like, shut up.
You know, at first I didn't recognize him. And I'm like, I don't want to see these people like this. You know, like so not Buck Rogers.
Yeah, that's...
You know, just a whole bunch of others that I was just like, wow.
The devil age.
Yep.
All right, man. So thanks a lot for, you know, getting together. And can't wait until next time.
Yep, talk to you.
Bye.
or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out, or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
George, pick up. I know you're screening for Allison.
Hey.
So, coffee shop?
No, I can't. She knows I go there. It's not secure. Hey, I got another call coming in. I gotta let the machine get it. Bye.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out, or I'd pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
George, are you there? I hate that stupid message. I know you're avoiding me. I'm at the office. Please call me. I've got to talk to you.
Hi, Allison. Oh, I guess you're not at home. I probably should have tried you at the office. Anyway, good to hear from you. Really looking forward to the ball.